How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another episode. You're here with me, Nick, and I'm joined by my buddy Ronnie. How's it going that side? Warming up a little bit.
Oh, it is actually warming up, and it's catching me a little bit off guard. I prepared for winter, and now I'm unprepared for summer. It's a bit of a problem. And by summer, I mean like 18 degrees Celsius, which is unbelievably hot here.
But I mean, you say you're unprepared. Do you just have to take one layer of jerseys off, or is it actually decently warming up?
No, so I thought, okay, geez, I don't have to invest in nice shirts because I'm constantly going to be wearing jackets and jerseys and hoodies. And now I have to expose my wrinkly shirt that I haven't ironed ever in my life to the world when it gets hot. But
Gonna have to pick up
and you know
running.
these people, and you know these people in Europe love a heater. They love a heater. So now it's 18 degrees, the sun is shining, all the windows are closed, and there's a heater going. And there's 15 heaters in the classroom, and it's unbelievable, man. Yeah, no.
Yeah, facing the struggles that side, Ronnie. So tell me, what goes on in Germany over a weekend? What are you getting up to typically?
Honestly, I think I said it last week that I've only had like 3 or 4 days of no class. I've had two, this weekend, I had Saturday and Sunday of no class, but I just spend it working. It's unbelievable. But one thing that these bloody Germans do on a Sunday is shut the whole city down or the whole town down. Nothing goes on. Everyone's just walking in circles, afternoon walk with their dogs, but there's no shops open. It's you can do nothing. So you have to also join them in walking a circle.
Really? Hey, that's quite surprising. I feel like, you're an engineer and now you're in Germany becoming more of an engineer. There has to be a good joke about German engineering in there because I've seen you and now I don't trust German engineers anymore.
Will think of a good joke and bring it up next week.
There we go. You're tasked with that for next week, hey, Ronnie.
Fair enough.
Let's then go over and kick off the Challenge and Champions Cup quarterfinals that took place over this weekend. First up, and talking about people that need to improve the quality of something, Glasgow Warriors taking a 52 to zut hiding at the hands of Leinster. Some real BMT from the Leinster side at the moment with 8 tries to nil. They've scored 114 points to nil in the last two fixtures.
That's a lot of points. That is a lot of points, and they're doing really well. Well done to Leinster. But look, they're a strong side. We know this. It's just, can they win in a finals game? In a finals game, it doesn't matter whether you are 114 points up. You just have to be 1 point up.
No, that's very true. And I mean, we spoke recently of, I think it was Brian O'Driscoll saying the Irish chaps are confused playing for Ireland after implementing Jacques Nienaber's defensive style down at Leinster. But I mean, to keep two score sheets clean now in the playoff stages is all indications that that defensive system's starting to click. The question now is, does that mentality that comes from Jacques as a proven winner, does that carry through to the team as well? Can they finally get over that hurdle?
I don't really know how to answer that because I believe in Jacques. And I think as a South Africans, we're all very biased and we all believe in Jacques, and Jacques's amazing and he can do no wrong. I do believe that there is an element of confusion happening over there in Ireland because such a large contingency comes from Leinster and then they go into the Irish side. But give them another couple of years and I think Jacques's influence will show and he'll find a way, he'll figure out a way to get the Leinster boys to work together really well. They're clearly working incredibly well at Leinster, so maybe just elevate the starting 15 of Leinster right into the Irish side.
Well, speaking of the starting 15, we know Leinster has a number of class players in their side, but it's a couple of sprinklings of Springbok and All Black in there that seems to really be doing them some justice at the moment because Jordy Barrett is on fire in that side, as is Avcıya Snyman. So it seems like those components with a little bit of, South African and All Black influence has really tied that side together. And you have to look at them at favourites to win this competition now.
Yeah, we look at them as favorites every year. Every year we do this, and then it comes down to a final and they lose it by 1 point. But do you think Jordy Barrett thinks the Champions Cup is easy compared to Super Rugby?
Well, if you're scoring 114 points with none back against you, maybe he does. It's a little bit of an interesting question that, but talking of these score lines, Ronnie, you're seeing now big wins for Leinster. And that always brings up a debate because the last two World Cups the Springboks won, they dropped a game in each. And you wonder if that, forged them and made them stronger, put them in that playoff mentality. Whereas now you've recorded two big wins, do you maybe become complacent going into the later stages of the competition? What would you prefer as a player, to have a tight win or a big blowout like that heading into a semi-final?
Heading into knockout rugby, definitely a tight win leading into it. Obviously, that's just nice saying it in hindsight after actually winning the tight win. It's a lot more stressful, but it really galvanizes everyone, brings everyone together, focuses everyone, and that's a lot better, of course, going into knockout rugby. But yeah, so as long as they remain confident and not arrogant, I think Leinster should go the distance, right? I mean, the bookies, right? I actually don't know what the odds are, but you really have to look at Leinster as favourites here.
Yeah, you definitely do. But I mean, we've seen it multiple times where they've come short in the games that really matter. And that hopefully does not play out for them again. I say hopefully now because there's no South African sides left in the tournament. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would not be hoping for that. But yeah, a real potential in the side, some proven winners there, Jacques' influence. They've got the perfect recipe for it. It's just a question of whether or not they can pull all the pieces together and actually get over the line now.
Agreed. And I'm going to say hopefully they don't win it because Ireland are good, Leinster are good, and I don't want to see anyone else be as good as the Springboks.
Fair enough, fair enough. Ronnie, over then to Hive Stadium in Scotland, where Edinburgh beat the Bulls 34-28, knocking the Bulls out of the competition. Now, that was a bit of an interesting one because the Bulls were once putting all their eggs into this basket, playing a really strong side. You have to wonder if some of the selection calls, maybe starting the big name players, would have paid off. But again, like you say, hindsight there. Edinburgh had a 17-point lead at the break, and it looked all but over. The Bulls then making one hell of a comeback in the second half, but just not enough to win it.
Yeah, I think we were talking in the WhatsApp group, and I was very despondent and negative, I think, at the halftime break. And then the next thing I know, one of the WhatsApp colleagues, comrades, said something like, here we go, it's switching on. And it was around about the time Cannon Moody came on. There was an injection of energy, a bit of momentum on the Bulls side. But I think at least on my part, I thought it was a bit too far, too much to ask for the Bulls. And that's the way it played out. I backed them on Super Bowl. I really thought the Bulls are going to do this. Jake White has a plan, you know, the one South African side to go the distance or more of a distance. It wasn't to be. It was very disappointing.
Yeah, I think the Bulls also find themselves in a different position to what the Sharks did last year when the Sharks challenged for this title, because the Bulls are still very much in the playoff race in the URC. So it is still a balancing act of focus, whereas last year the Sharks were, you know, their race was spent in the URC, so they could just focus on this competition and getting some silverware. But I mean, after the break, that two-try blitz really helped the Bulls out, plus a penalty try. And that lead that Edinburgh had was quickly eroded. But we've spoken on the show before about the complexities of chasing down a game like that, how tiring it is to overcome that and then push for the win at the end. You'd much rather be within touching distance, if not in the lead at the break. And then the Bulls, something that's plagued their whole season is the discipline. Jake White's spoken about the disappointment of it, but two yellow cards, Edinburgh scoring during those cards, it's very costly for them. And then lapses in concentration as well, which you don't expect from a team like that, where, I mean, that try from Edinburgh was absolutely insane from the goal line dropout of the Bulls. They collected at midfield and almost ran in unscathed. And that is a lapse in concentration from a defensive point.
Yeah, I think that's something that plagues a lot of the South African sides, right? They have these brilliant moments in the game and they bring a lot of energy, and it's just that they lose that focus when it really matters. Everyone's standing around looking at their teammates and hoping that the teammates do something. Whereas, you know, I think that mentality changes when the boys get to the Springboks. Everyone wants to go out there and give 200% and do more than what's been asked of them. This doesn't seem to be the case in our domestic sides. And like you said, the Bulls, two yellow cards, so incredibly costly. The amount of missed tackles, it's unfortunate. They need to be taking this serious, and they're not. I don't know if there's incentive to do well or whether the incentive is high enough or big enough to do well.
Yeah, it's definitely a problem that's crept into that side with the discipline, and discipline is so key in making it in the sport. But a player we spoke highly of last week, David Creel, touching down for two tries. I'm going to predict that he starts at 12 for the Springboks against Georgia, third test in July.
like making these wild accusations, and then 99% of them are wrong, and the one time that it's right, you're like, oh, see, I told you. I told you. I know everything.
Yeah, I like that comment, Ronnie. 77% of stats are made up on the spot and are false. But yeah, I think it was a fitting or not so fitting end to the game for the Bulls with a former player and Pierre Schoeman ending their hopes. He sacked the ruck, winning a penalty for them, and Edinburgh ended the Bulls' chances of progressing in this tournament. So hopefully the Bulls can cut it a little bit better in the URC and make it through to the final there.
Well, no excuses now, right? We know where the focus is. It's the URC. Do well. Let's go.
Yeah, for certain, for certain. Ronnie, Saints 51, 15 cast. I'm starting to question if we're saying cast correctly because I listen to the commentary teams and they say Castres. But Ian, our buddy that listens to the show, told us that it's cast. He spent some time in France before I believe he got deported. So I have to take him at
Ian's your buddy. Ian told me last week we're no longer friends. So I guess that is what it is.
Well, Ian, if you're listening to this and you've made us call it cast for almost 2 years, and it's not the case. Drinks on you next time we see you, bud.
It's not the cast.
20 points to 13 at halftime, Ronnie. I'm not sure if that's a good thing, though, for Saints getting a win out of this one, because they now face Leinster in a semi-final.
So help me understand this. 20 points to 13 at halftime, and the end score was 51-15. So Cass got a conversion without a try somewhere in the second half.
Something's not mathing there. I think it was 20 points to 12. Just keeping you sharp, Ronnie. 20 to 12 at halftime.
Okay, fair enough. Well, somebody can write in and tell us we were wrong.
Yeah, here we go. But yeah, so I don't know if you want to be lining up a semi-final against Leinster, or maybe it's the perfect team to be lining a semi-final up against. You never know. But Saints keeping that challenge for the Premiership sides alive at the moment, so that's good to see. Four tries in the first 40 and three yellow cards after a scrap. I don't know if you watched this game. I watched this one in full. It was quite a lack of showing. Did you get to catch this one, Ronnie?
No, unfortunately, I'm doing a bit of work, so my rugby viewing has been limited to watching highlights of these peripheral games. And I say call these peripheral because for me, the priority is only South African sides at this point. But yes, the highlights definitely it looked like one-way traffic, right? So I think this, if you're a Saints fan, you enjoyed the full 80 minutes, and if you're a Cast fan, yeah, you might have been comfortable still at halftime, but thereafter it went a little bit pear-shaped.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. But one player that's been spoken about a lot in the rugby pod is Henry Pollock. And it's not a player I'm familiar with because I don't also watch much Prem rugby. You know, it's not broadcast that frequently here and easy for us to see. But I watched him quite closely on Saturday, and man, can that guy play. And the crazy thing is he doesn't look like a big imposing flanker, but two tries in that he was everywhere and involved in everything. So maybe he is going to get a call up to the Lions for his efforts here.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I have not watched much Premiership rugby over the years, and slowly but surely I'm being introduced to it, and slowly but surely I'm realizing it's a very competitive competition that produces a lot of quality players. And I think over there in British and Irish Lions country, there's a lot of sevens, sixes and sevens for that matter, that are stepping up to the plate and making competitions very competitive. And I do agree with you. Henrik Pollock is someone that I'd never looked at either. But if you read any sort of articles, you go into it, you know, he's spoken of very favorably.
Yeah, very much so. And I mean, stepping into the huge boots of big Courtney Laws, he's doing it quite justice, that jersey at the moment. So I'll definitely give it to him. Then a game that surprised me a little bit is Toulon versus Toulouse. Toulouse sneaking a win home here, but it was Toulon with the boot of Jaminet that was really keeping the clock ticking in the first half. Toulouse sneaking at home. They are the six-time champions of this tournament, but I mean, for a large part of that game, it looked like Toulon was going to get the job done. Hey, four penalties from Jaminet. And then obviously it comes down to Thomas Ramos slotting the winner at the death to put Toulouse into a semi-final.
Yeah, an all French affair, right? So probably a repetition of what's going on in the top 14 too. But you know, that makes the stakes so much higher. It makes the game so much more intense. I know when the South African sides play each other, it gets really stressful and tight. And this was no different, right? So it came down to some crucial moments, and I think this was quite an entertaining game. This is something that I went back and watched a bit of it, the extended bits for. Very entertaining, and French rugby is in a good place, right? Let's be honest.
It definitely is. I was surprised that Tulane did not get any tries with Bielbieri on the wing there. But shit, man, what a game. You're absolutely right. This was a stunner, good quality, good display of French rugby. And yeah, semi-final between them and Bordeaux coming up. Then over to Bath versus Gloucester. Also a big score in this one. We have old Thomas the Tank plying his trade there for Bath at the moment. He's their top try scorer in the Prem, but 61 points to 26 against Gloucester, that's a hell of a hiding, Ronnie.
Yeah, considering where Bath had been not so long ago, right? This is a fantastic upward trajectory for them, doing really well, imposing themselves in that Premiership sort of setup, and thrashing Gloucester right now. 61 points, getting 61 points over them. That's very impressive. 9 tries to 4. Yeah, I think you can be very happy as a Bath fan, and like you say, old Thomas the Tank. It's always good to see him on the winning end. It's someone that I enjoy as a Springbok. So well done to them.
Yeah, a very, very good win to them. Their power game honestly just blew Gloucester out of the water. 133 carries to 88. When you're defending like that against the size of the players that Bath currently have, it's only going to be one result. Maybe not such a big one, but it's only going to be one outcome.
Yeah, you just have to batch 133 try times, and 9 out of 133 times you're going to score a try.
Yeah, there
Is
we
that
go.
math correct?
I believe it is, Ronnie. I won't question you on that one. Then this weekend, we return to the URC, Ronnie, back to the IRC, as you love to call it. Edinburgh versus Sharks. I had a bit of a chuckle here because I see Edinburgh is calling it the Biltong series. They faced the Lions in the last 16, then the Bulls in the quarters, and now the Sharks. And former Sharks coach Sean Everett leading them there in the onslaught of the South African sides.
Yeah, we spoke very negatively about the Sharks when Everett was the coach, and we blamed a lot on him. And you know, the question remains, was he the problem, or is there something underlying in the Sharks that's a problem? And unfortunately, I believe there's something that's not right, quite right at the Sharks, because it really doesn't matter which coach you put in there. The Sharks just can't seem to perform when it really matters. And when it absolutely doesn't matter, they put a brilliant performance together.
Yeah, you're right. We gave Sean a lot of grief at his time at the helm, saying he needs to go, and Sharks sit with the same problem. So I don't think it is the coach's fault. As much as I would love to see a Johan Ackerman or someone getting involved there, something is not working at the Sharks. But yeah, Sean sought out greener pastures, and I think he'll be quite happy with how his team is faring in the competition at the moment. That's for sure.
So, do you think the Sharks are going to be able to pull off a win?
Yes, I
Yes.
say that like three asterisks after it because these days backing them on Super Brew is a tough thing to do. But yeah, 8:30 kickoff on Friday night. That's going to be a big one for the Sharks. They do have some big names coming back. Eoben Etzebeth, Lukanya Am, and Grant Williams all should feature this weekend with Andre Estes also picking up some good form again. So they have all the tools. They just need someone that can use the tools at this stage because it's not going well for them. And this just reminds me of a player that left the Sharks that we've completely forgotten about, Kerwin Bosch.
No, yes.
Was a player we gave a lot of shit to as well, Ronnie.
Look, I'm going to do something here because, you know, there's a reason when we go and watch Springbok games, I always wear my lucky scarf. And I also, the punter team gifted me a Springbok jersey, but I didn't wear that one. I wore my old rugby jersey because that's always been the lucky one. And I'm quite superstitious when it comes to rugby, nothing else but in rugby. So I'm gonna go out here and I'm gonna test something and say the Sharks are gonna get clapped. Sharks are going to lose. And let's see if the opposite happens, which I believe will.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see what goes down at the Hive Stadium then, Ronnie. Over to Lions versus Benetton. That's on Saturday. Lions posting that one at home, a 1:45 kickoff. That should be a win for the Lions. Although Benetton, with all the Italians, you never know what's going to come out of that one. And Lions really also struggling to put up some consistency.
Yeah, but 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Joburg, Highveld, that field is gonna be, oh, I don't know, Lions should take this.
Let's see, let's see. Then Stormers versus Connacht, 4 p.m. kickoff down in Cape Town, home game for the Stormers as well. They're starting to get a number of Springboks returning for them as well. This week, they're getting JD Schickling and Salman Murat back. They've already had the return of Willemsen, Marnie, Sasha. So hopefully the Stormers can start getting back to winning ways and keep themselves in that top eight playoff spot.
Yeah, hopefully they do well. You know, I'm not a fan of the Stormers, but I am a fan of South Africa, so go Stormers.
Yeah, so Stormers, I think, are actually in 10th spot at the moment, but fighting to get up to 8th. It's not many points separating that portion of the log. And then Munster versus the Bulls, 6:15 kickoff, Ronnie, on Saturday. I see Leinster's loaned two players to Munster. That's Mike Milner and Lee Barron, prop and a hooker for the rest of the season because they're suffering some serious injuries up front. So they'll be happy that they've got some reinforcements. But that being said, the Bulls over the last 2 weeks also got some reinforcements back in Huerson and Moody and whatnot. So very difficult to call this one, especially after Munster toppled La Rochelle 2 weeks ago. What are you thinking, Ronnie?
Well, first point, I love that they're loaning out players. And I think South African sides, we need to start normalizing this. You know, if you have some depth in a certain position, start loaning them out a bit. But look, with respect to this game, I'm going to call the Bulls. And the reason I'm going to call the Bulls is because they lost the challenge and they're out of the Challenge Cup. So now there's a big focus. Everyone's looking in one direction. It's now to do well in the URC. They're in a good position on the log as well, the Bulls. A fairly strong position. So I expect him to go and do a job that's definitely not going to be an easy one over at Munster.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one because the Bulls have been on the road for a little bit as well. But with their experience and Munster struggling with some injuries, Munster also having John Klein back, which has been great to see him out on the pitch. I'm also going to go for a Bulls win. I think it's going to be a tight one though. But yeah, Bulls and Sharks fighting it out on the log at the moment too. So hopefully they can both sit in third and fourth as they currently are. Then Ronnie, over to the Donny Craven Stadium down in Stellenbosch. There was some Varsity Cup action backing the Boikies down there. And Aikies getting a 44-21 point win over Marties. Aikies having lost the last two finals, they finally vindicated themselves. But I think most interesting for me is that Robbie Fleck is coaching Aikies and Kabamba Fleurs is coaching Marties.
Yeah, I didn't expect Aikies to get the win, but I thought Marties would do a job. But well done to Aikies. And agree, it's always Robbie Fleck was on one of the other podcasts the other day and heard from him in a while. And that was quite interesting to hear from him again. Kabamba Fleurs is somebody that I haven't heard from in a long time. But yeah, good on them. Very interesting. Yeah.
We had a lot of fun going to the Varsity Cup back in the day. I see now it's all fenced up to keep the students at bay. We had raucous evenings down at LC de Villiers when we were students. I remember college throwing full beer cans at the Pukka students and ending up in a mass brawl and Richard streaking across the field and just pure debauchery when we were there.
This is true.
Ronnie, then your boy, good old Bodie Barrett. So he's usurped Morne Steyn as the second highest point scorer in Super Rugby history. 1,493 points. He's knocked Morne down to third place. Morne's got 1,488. So he got that this weekend against Moana Pacifica, where he scored a try and three conversions up to second spot. Ronnie, can you guess who's in first place?
This is the one and only Dan Carter.
Dan Carter, yeah, still first, 1,708 points. Good, what, 300 and something for Bodie to catch up on there. Whether or not he'll do that, I doubt it. Because, yeah, Dan Carter had a head of a career with the Sailors.
Well, like 215 or something like that. But yeah, look, Dan Carter, still, in my opinion, the best rugby player to have ever played.
Yeah, he was an absolute legend. Absolute legend. Ronnie, please tell me you got to see the Mayflower moment of the week.
I have seen this and I didn't realize that you had as well. I actually am very ashamed that we didn't discuss this privately because what a beautiful moment.
This, honestly, I saw that and I was like, nothing else could make Mayflower moment of the week than this, because Malcolm Marks picks up a loose ball, goes charging down the center of the field. And who other than Cheslin Colby to come flying in, smoking Malcolm Marks. But not only that, stealing the ball in the tackle too. I mean, you got to love it from Chesley, hey? That was in the Sun Goliath versus Spears match in the Japanese League this weekend.
And that's it for this week on the Rugby Punted. If you enjoyed the episode, smash that like button, subscribe, and join us again next week for more rugby insights, banter, and the right amount of chias. Don't forget to join us on Super Brute 2, where we'll see who's got the best rugby predictions and who's just winging it.